America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstteeclinic.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You've got Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick. And, of course, Alec Medford comprising the crew today. We're going to talk a lot of Cowboys. Also, I'm just curious, do you like to vote early or do you like to vote on Election Day? And
early and often.
Okay. Yep. you should only vote once.
Well, I mean, if they give you more forms, you have to fill them out. You don't have to use your own name.
You can vote early. You can do a mail-in vote.
No.
And you can vote the day of the election.
You're not supposed to do all of that. Just
what if my family can't get to the voting station, so they just say, you vote for me? Yeah, what if I want to do that?
You are not supposed to do that either.
I like to vote early, Kevin, because I will forget on the day of.
Okay.
And so I like to get it out of the way just so I know I don't have to worry about
it anymore. They say dead people vote, too. I remember that story.
Oh, my God. All right. I'm going to just throw it to cut number 16 real quick. Just keep in mind, this came out in 1996, and I still think it's I'll play the softer cut. It's as applicable now as it was then.
Senator Dole, why should people vote for you instead of President Clinton?
It makes no difference which one of us you vote for. Either way, your planet is doomed. Doomed!
Well, a refreshingly frank response there from Senator Bob Dole.
So, I know that's what a lot of people are feeling like today. So, I'm just curious if people like to vote early or if they like to vote the day of. Now, let's get into some Cowboys.
Heck yeah, let's go.
There's already been a moving and a shaking this morning. The NFL trade deadline, it's today at 3 o'clock. So when we hit the deadline, that'll be during G-Bag Nation. Obviously, hopefully you're going to listen to G-Bag Nation anyway. But that should push you even further. Jerry Jones said that Dak is likely to go on injured reserve. And the Cowboys made a trade for Jonathan Mingo, which is not getting early praise.
All right. I also went to Jonathan Mingo's because, look, man, his NFL stats are there. If you've watched, I have watched enough of him to go, all right, I drafted him in fantasy last year and then immediately released him because I was like, that didn't turn out as good as I wanted it to
be. Yeah.
But whenever I went and looked at his NFL.com prospect grade, I always love the prospect grade. It might be hit or miss, but what's your current feeling on him? Meh. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Here
that's
was his,
probably fair.
His prospect grade was a 6.27.
Which means like a starter.
The grade on that, Kevin, is will eventually be average starter. And at the moment,
okay,
that's what he is. He's 6'2", 220 pounds, maybe a little bit heavier than that right now because of the NFL. He has a physical build. So far, and what Dane Brugler wrote also, long strider, not so it takes him time to build up speed. If he's playing press coverage, that's going to be tough for him. I haven't seen any difference in the NFL so far from what I read from Dane Brugler. So I don't know exactly what the vision is for him, what they want him to be, but at the moment, he's Jalen Tolbert-ish, and that's about it. And Jalen Tolbert hasn't turned into what I thought he should be.
So just to hammer that home, Jane Slater had a couple of tweets about this. I asked a GM of another team his thoughts. and said, talented, a little raw, comp is too much, like way too much. Probably is most like Tolbert of the guys out there. Just my opinion, not a bad player, but to include a fourth is rich. Then she talked to another GM who said it probably should have been like a sixth or a seventh for the compensation. And this is a player that, I mean, like, what have you done lately is what I know people like to look at. And in the last four games, he has one catch for 1 yard on five targets.
Heck yeah.
So I understand why people...
One more catch than zero.
That's true.
You could have got a negative play out of that catch.
That is very true.
Positive play.
Hell yeah. So positive Mike is here and ready to play.
So let me ask you this question, because I think this was just for entertainment purposes. Jerry wanted...
Can you expand on that just a little bit? I know what you mean.
I think that he wants to take away from us going, the season is over, Dak's out for a month or till Thanksgiving-ish. I just think that he's like, I have to keep the Cowboys in the spotlight. And so this did it. Now we're seeing, if you go to websites, Cowboys make a trade for a wide receiver. They don't actually put the person's name on the headline because they go, oh, we need people to think they just traded for... Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
They did. And so I think that this keeps them on television and this keeps them in the conversation. And so what we're doing right now, and I'm not saying we wouldn't be talking Cowboys, we kind of have to. We're in Dallas.
Yeah.
Is I think this is accomplishing his goal of this trade. He doesn't care about the fourth round pick today. He will care about it a little bit on draft day when there's maybe somebody that he would have liked to have drafted there, but he won't know it. It'd just be a scout. So be like, dang it, I wish we had that pick.
And I just wanted to throw this out there because I think this is not a fair assessment. From the 817, Cowboys can't hit on first and second round picks. Who gives an S about a fourth? I actually think that is definitely wrong. I think the Cowboys have a better track record than a lot of teams at hitting early. But just in the last few years, fourth round picks, Dalton Schultz, Dorrance Armstrong, Tony Pollard, and Jake Ferguson. There, you've gotten some quality players out of that. Now, you've also missed
Jabril Cox.
Yes.
Josh Ball.
You've missed for sure.
Reggie Robinson.
But you've gotten a lot of good players out of the fourth round. So I don't think that is a fair assessment of
that draft
pick at all.
Remember, this is the only way they get players. They forfeit free agency intentionally. That's their philosophy on cap, is you do not sign free agents until they drop down to, like, you have A level out, B level out, like 100%. C level if the price is right, but probably not. And then D's and F's is what they get in free agency. So when you trade this pick, this is kind of the only way they acquire talent. So what they're saying is we acquired it. We acquired a talented player. I don't think they care. I think that Jerry Jones demanded that Will McClay trade for a wide receiver.
Do something.
And so Will McClay is stuck on a timeline here that in a few hours it's up and he's just like, I have to satisfy the dad. And so he satisfied the dad by telling him, I got a... Was Jonathan Mingo a second round pick?
He was.
Yeah, so I got a guy who was just recently a second round pick.
By the way, they've already said that they really liked him when he was coming out of college.
So Will, because Jerry Jones has no clue who Jonathan Mingo is. So
he's like, isn't that running back from Texas, Jonathan?
Yeah. Oh. Isn't that the guy that grew 6 inches in an offseason?
That's Kuminga.
Oh, okay.
And that wasn't true either.
Okay, but I just think that Will McClay satisfied Jerry Jones's demand. I tell this story, or I've told it before, but whether it's true or not, I'll just tell you my source. It was Rick Barry in 2007. He was telling me a story back when Jerry West was the general manager of the Memphis Grizzlies. And the owner had money to spend, and the owner was upset because Jerry West had not spent the money immediately in free agency. And I was like, what is going on? How did all of these guys get signed? I gave you this money. We have this money. Use the money. And Jerry West got frustrated, immediately picked up the phone, called up Brian Cardinal's agent, gave him a deal that couldn't refuse because there was probably not a deal on the table close to. Hung up the phone and told the owner, we just got Brian Cardinal, your money spent.
Kevin, what did Jerry Jones do after the Cowboys lost to the Packers?
He said he's going to have meetings and then kept McCarthy.
But what was the line? What was the phrase that we used all offseason that he said?
He's going to be all in.
What happened this Sunday after the game? Jerry Jones immediately came out and said, we're going to do something.
Yeah.
Because I need to distract you from what just happened.
Yep.
I need you to, I'm flipping this around and I need you to immediately forget about what just happened. And listen, Brada said this on Sunday after the game.
If you don't take a running back in the first,
that's
two
not
rounds,
what Brada said. That was okay. Yesterday.
I was just asking.
Brada said this after the game, and he's right. The fans are there. Are a lot of smart fans. They know how, they've watched good football. The thing is, we can see how all other teams are run too.
Yeah,
and a lot of people have been watching how teams are built. There are a lot of smart fans. That's why they're frustrated. That's why the fans are frustrated, because they see past that. They're like, hold on, we've seen that happen before, Jerry. We get that. The action of evolving and changing a team is completely different. Doing things to distract us doesn't work. And that's why, when a trade like this happens, Mike's telling, I think I'm right there with him. Hey, man, do something, because these fans they're upset about this. We got to do something to shake it up to distract them. But the fans are smarter than that now. We see it all the time on the fan. There are some dumb ones, all right? Don't get me wrong. And it's okay if you're a dumb fan. That's fine. But but there are a lot of smart Tolos and a lot of smart Cowboys fans that are upset because they've seen that happen before.
It's like, I was just thinking about the Cowboys on defense. I think Zimmer's like, I got a lot of stupid players on this team. Remember how Darren Woodson or Tony Tolbert, all these guys, they're going to really like them. But it's a little bit complex at times, but it's going to be, you're going to be able to disguise certain things. And it's like, well, you can, unless your cornerback's looking to your sideline as the ball's being snapped and going, I have no clue where I'm supposed to be or why I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah,
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And you saw Monday Night Football last night. You saw DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins got traded for less than what the Cowboys gave up for Jonathan Mingo.
Dude, and you know what? Okay, all right, hold on. But that's another discussion that I think is real here. DeAndre Hopkins got traded for less.
A conditional fit.
For a right now.
Yes, true.
DeAndre Hopkins is legitimately helping the Chiefs right now.
Where the Cowboys seem to be saying this is their Hamels deal in terms of hopefully we think he'll be good for a couple
helping
years.
It's not helping Cooper Rush. It's not helping Dak Prescott. It's a young receiver that they hope maybe helps them a couple years from now or next year. That's what I'm only banking on, that because those are two different things. But you're right. The price paid seems out of whack there still.
So this morning,
this is fun.
And that's another frustration, Kevin, is that at this point, Cowboys fans are starting to look to next year.
Yeah.
They are starting to go, look, we just lost Dak. There's too many things here. This is the bad season. It happens.
And then...
And that's and the reality is kind of the, wanting them to just say, look, that is where we are right now. You're I don't know if you're, are you going to lose interest in the team for this year if they said that this is it, that they're looking at next year now?
I think plenty of people probably would.
And the draft show is going to be swamped.
That I agree. Now
it's just a different type of interest. Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, that's Kevin. Okay. Yeah. Mike loves dancing on the Cowboys' grave, and I'm not going to lie, that kind of pisses me off.
Uh-huh.
But what are you supposed to say about it this morning? What are you supposed to say about it after the last game or the last game or the last game?
You got to call it what it is. You have to be honest with what you actually see.
Yes.
Otherwise, it makes you look like you don't have a clue what you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes. And so this morning when Jerry, like, he was very adamant with Sean and RJ, and then he kind of gave you a sneak preview of the Mingo move because he was like, we're not going to be sellers. And in fact, we got to move right now. As soon as he said we're not going to be sellers, I have to admit, I had a little bit of hope. Not a lot, but a little bit of hope yesterday when Steven goes, but you have to look at it from every possible outcome. There's plenty of football, but maybe not that much football. And I was like,
that was very real.
Yeah. I was like, okay, maybe they see it. Maybe they get it. And then Jerry's like, we're not selling anything.
And I also will, I will put myself in that, try to put yourself in the position of Jerry, who looks at himself as the colonel of the franchise, right? Hey, look, everybody's following
me. KFC.
Everybody's following, not KFC, Mike, but everybody's following me. If I show that I've given up hope on the plan, because he keeps throwing out the, look, I've seen things happen before, and hey, look,
true,
anything wild can happen. If I just give up, then I don't give myself that opportunity that something wild could happen. He wants people to believe that something can happen. And I want to believe it too. Honestly, all of us want to believe that something good can come out of a bad situation. We all want to believe that you can rise up. We love underdog stories.
Sure.
But that's what he's, when he says that, I don't think it's delusional. I think it's him trying to convince himself and other people around him that something special could happen.
So I go back and forth on that. I think that's a great point. I go back and forth
It's corny. It's cheesy.
But still.
It's a Disney movie.
No, you might be right. Because I part of me thinks you're 100% right that he's like, he's trying to convince himself while he tells everybody. But then there's another part of me that thinks he's kind of going like George Costanza when he's like, it's not a lie if you believe it or if you say it enough times. So I go back and forth of confusion between, is he just desperately hoping he can will this into existence? Or is he like, these yokels keep coming back for more and I'll keep spoon feeding it to them?
I think here's a little bit of the scary thing as a Cowboys fan, not me, you listening. Is he can only save today with this stupid trade to like distract you from what is really happening and what he did. Because isn't it amazing that he traded a fourth round pick today but wouldn't do anything in March to help out the team?
I know. And you think about like, what happened last year when they made some moves around that time. You got Brandon Cooks for a fifth round pick, and like obviously I know he's been injured this year. You got a cornerback for a Stephon Gilmore for a fifth round pick, and I felt really good about that.
What does he do if they lose Sunday by, let's say, 14 points to Philadelphia? And then it's a 100% over at that point. You have six losses. Philadelphia would only have two. I'm sorry, I don't know Washington's schedule this week, but like you just go, What strings does he pull on you Cowboy fans next week?
I don't know.
I don't know either, because the trade deadline's over. I don't. Does he tease like you remember when Dak broke his hand and he's like, Dak could play this week?
Yeah.
And you're like, are you? What?
Yeah.
But all he's doing, he knows. Like he's not stupid. He's one of the smartest business guys in the world. He's selling business. He's not selling football. He's selling a product that doesn't exist, and he's good at it.
This is where I will disagree with you. I don't think that's anywhere near as effective as you think it is or as he thinks it is. I think there are a lot more people like me who love the Cowboys because they love the Cowboys because that was their upbringing. Like, whether they watched it with their parents, their grandparents, or whoever. Not because Jerry... Like, I'm not excited today because Jerry Jones is selling me on anything. I love the Cowboys just because that's been a part of my life since I was little. I think there are more people like me.
But don't you say he preys on the stupid?
I could see that.
Hey, Mike.
I'm not saying there's none of those people, but I think there's more people like me.
There's some answers. From the 972, he'll fire a coach.
Yeah.
From the 469, he'll fire Zimmer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like that's there are other bullets in this gun. Like there
definitely are.
So that's kind of his probably one of his next steps.
You just got to decide, are you the kid that goes up in front of the class and has the piece of paper? And you're like prepared for this? Or are you the kid that goes up in front of the class and just goes, look, man, I didn't read this book, but I'm going to tell you all straight here.
Yeah.
The movie was really good.
Or maybe they'll go pick up the OC from Detroit and we'll all be like, hey, we got this.
That's a next year thing, Kevin.
Okay.
That dude has to win a Super Bowl this year first.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
I got Mingo going for 10 for 200 and 2 touchdowns.
Dude.
Sunday.
If that happens.
Oh.
We come in Monday
all
in and
our
we're
faces,
like,
in
we
my
turned
face.
It all around, baby. It was the Cole Hamels trade.
I thought he was a forward for the Golden State Warriors.
Mingo's going to be an ace for the next 3
Jonathan
years.
It's not Jonathan Kuminga.
He got benched. He's coming off the bench now, and they're 5-1. I don't know if Golden State won last night. I think they're 5-1 to start.
Sounds like Jonathan.
We're Kuminga. The KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk Mavs, Pacers, and the corner three anomaly that Corey saw next on The Fan.
Marshall's on the floor, and Dallas facing the floor, and a drained three by Klay Thompson.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I'm going to make sure I put it up to the right camera. Alec has printed us all out maps of the United States.
And that's right.
We talked off air about coloring in the states that you think are going to go for Harris versus Trump. And if you feel like printing out your own map, coloring it, taking a picture, sending it to us, that'd be great.
Why'd we get so lazy once we got past the Mississippi River and just start making states so big? Like, look at everything was so nice and tight over here on the right side of the country. And then they were like, you know what? Give them all that land over there. Like, what happened?
I think it's because they didn't know how far the country went. And they were like, hey, we got all these tight states on the right side. But then once we started going west, we're like, it can't be that much further. Just give them up to there. That's probably the end of it. They're like, there's more? I don't know. Make it Idaho.
If you're
maybe there's lack of rivers.
Maybe so. Yeah, there aren't that many rivers
like,
over
well,
there.
Well, there's only a river here. Just make that the
another
line.
Shortage.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. How could the river run through it if they...
How many people have seen that movie?
Not me. But that being said,
I think that's Fievel Goes West.
If you're a history person or a geography person, let us know why the states are that way.
That's great. I look forward.
Dude, this is a great day to get involved in the things.
All of them.
Yeah. Thanks,
okay.
Kevin.
Okay. There we go. Now, we could talk about the game or we can go to all things Mavs, who Corey provided me this statistic, but I do want to also give credit to all things Mavs.
Yeah.
Going into the game last night, this was crazy to me. The Mavericks, 24th in three-point shooting. From the left corner, they shoot 20.7%, which is 30th. From the right corner, they shoot 52.9%, which is first. So they're at the top and at the bottom for corner threes, just depending on which corner you get it on. And clearly they've been shooting a lot more left corner threes, which leads to their overall not very good percentage.
Mike, I don't understand this. If you can help explain this to me, why the Mavs are so terrible. They're the worst at shooting threes from the left corner and the best at shooting threes from the right corner. I will say every time PJ Washington's in the left corner, I'm like, oh no. But he was in the right corner. I'm like, okay, good. I don't know. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me other than maybe the eyes, the way people's vision sees it, it feels more comfortable coming out of their right hand with the backboard on the right. I don't know.
Yeah, that's all I can think of is being right-handed. Somehow you feel more lined up in the right-hand corner, that where your feet are set, you feel like it's more of a direct line.
Okay.
And maybe in the left-hand corner, you feel like there's a hair of an angle on it. But I know that they're not standing in the exact same spot every time they shoot. Sometimes the pass takes you one step to your left or closer to the baseline. So I don't have a perfect explanation for this, except the Mavs overall are not off to a good start this year. Yes. It's not horrible, but it's definitely not defending champion, Western Conference champion. Worthy. They feel a little bit, and this is scary, but it's super early. They feel a little bit 2024 Texas Rangery to me.
Oh, no.
I don't think it'll be out of the play. It's tougher to make the playoffs in baseball. I don't think they'll be under 500 for the year either, but it doesn't feel like this team is playing better or playing up to the standard I thought they would. It's early. I guess the good news is they're not peaking early.
That is very true.
You don't have to worry about them playing their best basketball right now.
From the 318, there's a documentary on the History Channel called How the States Got Their Shapes.
What?
That, and it said really interesting. That absolutely.
On what channel?
On the History Channel.
Okay, I actually want to watch this with the kids.
And then from the 903, this actually makes a lot of sense to me too. Guys, to be a state, you need a certain amount of people. As you got west, there were fewer people, so you had to take in a bigger area.
Bring more people.
I think they tried that, and that's like
why. Take in a smaller area and just be like, this
is why we have the 49ers.
Isn't that why the Oregon Trail game exists? Because, like, if you were going out west, a lot of terrible stuff happened.
You could only eat squirrels.
Now, there was no Derek Lively last night, which meant you got to see the very best version of Miles Turner again. And it feels like more than any other team in the NBA, you see the very best version of Miles Turner against the Dallas Mavericks.
I think Mark Folliwell said this after Turner made two free throws to get to 30 points. He has 12 30-point games in his life.
Wow.
Three of them are against the Mavs.
That's
too
many.
And
they only play them twice a year. They're not even in your conference. So you only play Indiana twice a year. Now, I know he's been in the league a while, from Euless Trinity. Great guy. Seen him at the Kroger down the street shopping one time.
Oh.
But it is amazing to me how he plays his best against the Mavs. Now, I will say this. It somewhat has made sense in the history of the Mavs when they're running out Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleba as their center combination for such a long time.
Yeah.
But last night, you have Gafford. That didn't seem to matter, but the Mavs tried to play Dwight Powell about... I don't have the box score.
I think
up,
they played like 7 or 8 minutes.
And so they tried. And they're like, this isn't working. We'll just go to the small ball thing, which worked in the comeback the other night that they didn't come back against Houston. It got them back into the game. So they tried going small ball in this game. And you saw what can happen negatively when there's a Siakam and a Miles Turner on the other team is... defensively, you're just hoping they miss shots and then don't get the offensive rebound. The problem was Pacers weren't missing many open shots, and then if they did miss, they were getting the offensive rebound. And then Derek Lively, you can see how big of a weapon he is defensively. Like, he's as big of a weapon. Maybe this is too strong. This is too strong. He's almost as big as a weapon defensively as Luka is offensively. That's way too strong of a statement.
Yeah.
But we saw...
for this team, it is a big difference.
His importance. Yeah, no, yes.
But he is very important to your defense, because it did stink last night that Luka consciously made the effort not to play defense last night.
It was
and
bad.
So when you don't have Derek Lively...
Can we pause on that for just a second? And I'm not disputing what you're saying. I just... for people that maybe are newer to the show or haven't heard a lot of our Mavs takes, what leads you to that conclusion on an individual night?
For some reason, he was struggling to get back on defense. When he was covering the ball, when he was on ball, he was not trying to keep the guy he just wasn't trying very hard to keep the guy in front of him. There's another thing that happens. Rick Carlisle knows how to get under Luka's skin.
I agree with that.
Luka hates Rick Carlisle. I won't say Rick hates Luka. I don't know if there's hate there, but Rick knows how to irritate and frustrate Luka, and he's very easy to frustrate. Luka's one of the best players in the game, but he is very easy to frustrate. We've seen that in his career. Sometimes Luka will use that, and he uses it as a positive. There's other times where he uses it as a negative, and I think Rick Carlisle knows how to do it where he's hoping, and it seems like he gets the worst out of Luka. As the opposite coach, as the team... like, I'd hate to play the Pacers in the playoffs if they were in our conference, because I think Rick
would know exactly
what Don Nelson did to Dirk Nowitzki in that 1-versus-8 series of Golden State and Dallas. So I look at it, and there's a lot of things in play there, but I felt like Luka got discouraged a few times, and then for some, he's like, he got mad, and just my shot's not going in consistently. I hate Rick Carlisle, and Rick keeps making me play one-on-one defense, and I keep losing, so I'm not going to try anymore.
Yep, that was a really good explanation of how it all went down.
Now, Corey, I think you're on board either way, but another text from the 903, how the states got their shapes is very cool and interesting. I feel like you didn't need to be sold anymore, but in case you did.
I love things about the shapes and the states. But somebody texted in and said it is a lot of about how the rivers were laid out. Like, look at Texas, the Brazos, the Red River, all that stuff. That kind of factors into it. But I'll watch, and then I'll do a, you know what? I'll do a whole C block on it.
Okay. And then do you think this person is listening live from the 469? Y'all need to fire him from doing radio interviews. This man is clueless. I'm sick of his nonsense. We're not actually interviewing anybody right now, but...
But hold on, were they talking about the interviewer or the interviewee?
Ooh, or do you think they're listening about 2 hours behind?
I mean, that's possible, too. I have no clue.
Oh, they're listening to the Jerry Jones interview right now?
That
happens all the time.
My guess.
There are people that'll listen to our show and it'll be like noon and they're going, hey guys, just started listening to the show. And they're like texting in about what the thought is.
Baseball Nuggets is coming up. I threw this out during the break. Or not during the break, before we got on the air. Does Derek Lively, in a way, if you're a Metroplex fan, does he remind you a little bit of Evan Carter on how big of an impact he can have, but somewhat how fragile their bodies are? They're not developed bodies yet.
Yeah.
So they can They can miss extra time because Derek Lively, as great as he is a fragile player if you look at his body so far. And it doesn't mean he won't be. I hope he grows into kind of that long, slender Kevin Garnett frame.
And can I tell you, I'm actually surprised this doesn't happen more often, that like last year Lively played 55 games, which is still like a massive jump from his last college season. I'm surprised you actually don't see that more often, where like rookies top out at 55 games, give or take.
But then
that's a fair point.
Yeah, and then like Evan Carter, right? If Evan Carter doesn't get called up in 23, hit 300 throughout the regular season and the playoffs, you don't win the World Series. There were other key factors, but you don't win. You don't even make it to the World Series without Evan Carter. And you don't make it to the NBA Finals without Derek Lively.
Absolutely, I agree.
I really liked Cason Wallace, the kid from Richardson who went to Kentucky in the draft. I would have stuck there and just drafted him.
Yep.
You don't make the NBA Finals if you make that draft pick. It wouldn't have been a bad pick, but you don't make the NBA Finals, just like Evan Carter. But then you do have to deal with Derek Lively when he falls down. There's a chance he misses a game or five games, and that's what you deal with. And then it does hurt your team. Evan Carter not being on the team hurt the Rangers.
Agreed.
Derek Lively last night, if he's healthy, I think the Mavs find a way to win because they don't give up 132 points.
Now, I had one more quick question for y'all on the basketball front. Adam Silver has been consulting with Steph Curry on possible All-Star game changes. Now, obviously, you look back at last year, it was 211 to 186, which is the most combined points in the history of the All-Star game, as well as the first time I've heard.
And things.
As well as the first time a team scored more than 200 points. So Silver wouldn't be specific, but he said, we're looking at other formats. There's no doubt that the players were disappointed, as were the fans, in last year's All-Star game. Now, is there any change?
And Mike,
Mike, and correct me if I'm wrong, you think a lot of this is I'm going to go with the LeBronification.
Yes, LeBron did this.
The All-Star game. So do you think any changes will happen while LeBron's still here that would actually look different?
No, but I think LeBron has such an influence. I don't know how it ever gets changed back. There was a time where Kobe took it seriously because Michael Jordan took it seriously in Kobe's first ever All-Star game. So Kobe decided to take it seriously 1 year, and he kind of shut down LeBron. There's highlights of it. You can go to TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. You can show when Kobe got serious in an All-Star game. And I don't want to say embarrassed, but LeBron was turning the ball over. LeBron was taking bad shots. LeBron couldn't understand why this Kobe Bryant guy was taking this exhibition so seriously. And I think after that game, LeBron's like, I'm taking this over. Kobe's starting to exiting his prime. I'm going to take this thing over and tell everybody, we never try in this game. Let us shoot wide open shots. Let us dunk the ball. Let us do whatever we want. So I do think LeBron led the NBA in what we have now for the All-Star game.
Kevin, did you like this segment?
Yes, I did.
You notice how connected Mike and I were to this segment and what we've been doing as we've been coloring in the states this entire time and also paying attention? That's all you got to do. Teachers knew what they were doing back in the day. They were like, the kids
over
there.
So I have to give you guys a coloring book?
Yeah,
to keep us connected. So you'll stay engaged with the freaking show?
Yeah, we need a little something to that's our brains.
Great. That's a low price to pay.
Good job, Alex.
That's a very low. Thank you, Alex.
Is Kentucky blue because
of killer producer right there?
Because of the grass?
Wildcats?
Oh, or that.
Or the grass.
Alec, For $20, you might have just saved my sanity for the next several months. So thank you very much. I'm going to go get a whole bunch of coloring books of like the old 97s and then that 1980s Dallas Mavericks. I don't know if those exist, but I'm going to find a way.
The old 97s like a...
It's a band.
Yeah. Corey loves the old 97.
I love the old 97s, dude. Yeah.
So
were they the new 97s when they started off?
Okay, that's an off-air conversation.
The 97s.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here
color, 97.
On 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, you're cutting into your own time. It's Baseball right. Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
Deal with it, Ranger fans. It's Yankees talk. Oh, does Juan Soto and Aaron Judge make sense? Next.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
All right, so we've talked about the Rangers outfield. I don't want to leave out Ranger fans here. I think Wyatt Langford's your left fielder for the next 5 years.
What else do you not want to leave out right here?
Twin Peaks. This is brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, and Scenic Views.
Boom.
Twin Peaks. Deal with it. That's more Eat, Drinks, and Scenic Views.
Yeah, that's probably what they're going
to
go with.
Yeah. I want Evan Carter to be the everyday center fielder. That being said, he'll need some days off against left-handed starting pitchers, and he'll need some days off. We just brought up Derek Lively. He's going to need some days off because I still think he's growing into a man's body.
Okay.
That, like, his body is not developed like Wyatt Langford. His body will never look like Wyatt Langford looks like a freaking man. Evan Carter's a slender, thinner guy, but he still hasn't reached his somewhat what you call man strength yet. And then I believe Adolis Garcia this upcoming season will be the right fielder. That leaves Leody Taveras out. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Leody Taveras because Leody and Evan Carter together make zero sense at all. They both struggle against left-handed pitching. So you'd want a right-handed hitter, a pretty good right-handed hitter, I think, to be the guy to give Evan Carter some days off. Now, I go to the New York Yankees because the New York Yankees have the best combination of outfield hitters in the game by far. My son was asking me this, and I'm like, look, he asked me questions where I'm like, I love that you think I know everything. It is awesome.
But I don't.
He's like, is Aaron Judge and Juan Soto the best outfield offensive combination in the history of baseball? And I'm like, well, I was like, there was a year where Mickey Mantle hit almost 60 home runs and Roger Maris hit 61 home runs, but that was just a year. Roger Maris isn't a Hall of Famer, not really considered a Hall of Famer, but he's, you know, kind of...
Yeah.
Like that, like, hey, man, really good player, but not a Hall of Famer. If you look at Juan Soto last year, he hit 41 home runs, 288 batting average, 128 runs, 109 RBIs. We know Aaron Judge, MVP, almost a 1,000 OPS for Juan Soto. Juan Soto, with Aaron Judge in the lineup, you can't ask for a better combination. It's perfect. Those two guys together are perfect, and I think they feed off of each other, and they make each other better.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees are insane to not offer Juan Soto the most money when it comes to the way that Juan Soto and Aaron Judge fit together, and Juan Soto is only 26 years old. He literally just turned 26.
That's still so weird to me. He
years
feels
old.
Way older than that, right?
So because he made it to the major leagues at
so
19,
soon.
At 20 years old, he won the championship with Washington. It's amazing that he's been with three teams and possibly going to a fourth. But here's where it just doesn't make any sense to me. So like, oh, everybody knows Juan Soto should be a Yankee. How does this make sense? Juan Soto is a below-average outfielder. He's played some left field in his career. He's played more right field than left field. The Yankees don't want to put him in left field because that's the big part of their field.
Yeah.
And they know that he's the slowest and the least of their outfielders. So, like, well, in right field, we can kind of hide him because it's a short porch. There's not much room. Just play him near the warning track and just catch all the routine fly balls. But if you paid attention to the playoffs, you saw there were multiple times that Juan Soto turned outs into hits, he turned singles into doubles, and he turned doubles into triples. He even let Freddie Freeman get a triple. Like, that dude had one ankle, and he got a triple. Because Juan Soto, hey, unbelievable hitter, but not a good outfielder.
True.
Aaron Judge. I think he's a really good right fielder. A gold glove caliber right fielder. He's not Mookie Betts. But he's good in right field.
And they put him in center. And
he is below average in center field. If you get to go to a Rangers-Yankees game this year and they play this outfield, if Juan Soto signs back, watch where Aaron Judge and Juan Soto play in the outfield compared to Adolis Garcia and Evan Carter or Leody Taveras. It is shocking how close they are to the warning track. Against nothing against these guys, Josh Smith, Travis Jankowski. These are guys you're not expecting to hit the ball to the wall.
Yeah.
They're more singles and possibly doubles hitters. They're not home run hitters. And I know Josh Smith, taking a little bit away from him, he did do a great job of improving his power in 24. So what do you do if you're the Yankees and you're going to have to offer a minimum of $500 million, which probably won't get it done? You're going to have to get probably closer to the $600 million number.
It does sound like that.
So you're going to pay $600 million to him. You're already paying Aaron Judge a whole bunch of money, over three. I can't remember his contract. I think it's $325, but I could be wrong on that number. Is if they can't play defense, and you saw, if I just do this, if I switch Mookie Betts to the Yankees right fielder, they might have won the World Series based off of defense.
Yeah.
If I put Juan Soto playing defense in right field for the LA Dodgers, I think this is too extreme of a measure. But that might have been the turning point. Is Mookie Betts' defense versus Juan Soto's defense was a major impact in that World Series if you kind of are understanding baseball. So if I'm the Yankees, and this is the scary part of telling a 26-year-old who's the number one guy on the market, who's going to be the second highest paid player in baseball to Shohei Ohtani after this signing is done, you're not an outfielder. You're a first baseman and a designated hitter, and I think you can play first base. I think you have good enough hands to play first base. I don't know. You'd have to truly commit to it. It's not just here's a glove, good luck. It is a tough position. I would say ask Michael Young after playing second base and shortstop and third base. In 2011, because of the Adrian Beltre signing, he went to first base. He struggled at first base. Yeah. He did the best he could, and he had played harder positions you would consider. But, man, it's such a different glove and how you stretch for the ball and how you pick the ball by holding on to the base. It is very different from playing second, short, and third. And to move Juan Soto from right field to first base, that makes to me a lot of sense defensively. I don't think Juan Soto will go for it. So now if I'm the Yankees, what do I do? Because Jason Dominguez should be playing center field next year. He's the 22-year-old super prospect who
can run. He's been hyped for a while.
He blew out his knee over a year ago. His knee has gotten better. He had a good year in the minor leagues offensively. They didn't feel like he was ready to produce at a playoff level. They didn't take the Evan Carter risk.
Yeah.
They decided not to do that. I was thinking they should try that risk. Hey, they made it to the freaking World Series. They weren't that wrong. But if Jason Dominguez goes to center field, to me, which makes sense, I guess you move Aaron Judge to left field?
But that's a scary proposition out there.
This is an interesting spot for the New York Yankees, the defending American League champs, who, yes, they have the money to sign Juan Soto, and I know they really want to. I think the scary thing is their major competition is 30 minutes down the street.
Yeah.
And that can always be, you talk about Jerry Jones today just trying to steer the headlines away from his team and to like, can you believe they traded a fourth round pick? Like, that makes him really happy that we're talking about that today. And we're going to keep talking about they traded for Jonathan Mingo for a fourth round pick. If you haven't heard that update, we'll talk to Mickey Spagnuolo about it here in a second. Is what do I do when the Mets want to steal not only the player I need to make it back to the World Series and possibly win it, but they steal the headlines away in New York, too? They make me look like a schmuck, is what they would say in New York.
Or a schmo, is what Eric, I believe, said yesterday.
Yeah. And then they make the Mets look like the heroes. That is a real battle there. And it's also a battle against the Red Sox, but I don't think the Red Sox are going to pay Juan Soto $600 million. So I just look at Juan Soto and I look at Aaron Judge, and it makes perfect sense in a lineup. It makes no sense in the outfield, and you're committing to it for a decade. Now, I know Aaron Judge isn't under a decade contract, but you're committing to it for a long time, and Aaron Judge is a much better outfielder than Juan Soto, so I don't want to move Aaron Judge to first base unless I feel like it's for super health reasons. I want to make my team the best team possible, and my best team possible is Jason Dominguez in center, Aaron Judge in right, and Juan Soto batting second and third along with Aaron Judge. The thing is, and the deal is do I move Juan Soto to DH first base, which would make the most sense for my team to win, or do I keep my offense going but then have a big liability defensively?
That is an interesting choice that they have to make.
Crush that, Mike.
And that's your Yankees talk.
How are y'all's maps coming?
I don't have a red pen.
Coloring, yeah.
I need a red pen. We need to find a red.
Oh, it's rigged.
Yeah, I only have blue marked in right now.
Yeah, we don't have the red.
We'll see how this goes.
Okay.
Well, I've been saying it's rigged.
I've been coloring in more than you.
You too, huh?
You're just doing stripes.
Yeah, I'm doing stripes. Yours is good because you leave the names of the states open, too. Yeah. I like that. It's different, though.
This is like the NCAA bracket for basketball, by the way. Cooper Flagg, oh my gosh.
He is unfreaking believable.
I'll turn on college basketball for him this year.
Hell yeah. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Plus, nobody cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do. So tell us your triumphs or heartbreaks. And do you have a red pen? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.